Download 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here on the Download. 80 Quick, Heather Sharon from the Daily Line in studio tonight. We do this every Wednesday to talk about all the big ticket items in politics. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so let's talk first about Springfield. I was kind of harping on this in the carryout that Senator Harmon chose not to call the bill that would be a veto override in the Senate. He said he had the votes to override the gun licensing bill that was vetoed by the governor during the election, during the primary. This is a strange way we do politics, Heather, in the way that he has the votes, but he doesn't want to vote? What's happening here?
It's very confusing. So now they basically have to start over from zero. And of course, this bill was passed in the days right after Parkland, the horrific school shooting that killed 17 people. And, you know, Mayor Emanuel campaigned very, you know, openly for it. I think that I chuckled at some of his tweets, which, you know, pointed out that catfish is regulated and licensed in the state of Illinois,
right.
But you don't need a state license to sell a gun in Illinois. You need a federal license. And Governor Rauner's argument is, of course, that this is duplicative,
yeah.
It's bureaucracy. But it sort of seems that a little bit of the wind that was pushing these gun reform measures has dissipated a little bit in Springfield, especially with there not even being a vote whether it was successful or unsuccessful to override the governor.
And it's just strange the way politics has turned into a game of not getting on the record. And it's amazing, and we know why. We've talked about it on this program. You know, if you put yourself in a position where you say you're for this vote or you're against this vote, that a challenger coming up in an election can use that and put it on a flyer or maybe put an attack ad together. But is this how we're going to do it now? Is this how governing happens, and not just in the state of Illinois, but in this entire country, that no one is willing to actually get anything done because they're afraid of what the consequences might be?
In an election year, yes. It's the worst in an election year, and especially as we get closer and closer, and even seeing how bitter the primaries were, I think the fewer contentious votes that happen, the better. I think everyone wants to get as many things done as possible, especially a budget.
And it's another indication that, you know, Illinois is more than just Chicago, because really, once you get outside the collar counties, Illinois is still very, very rural. So it was possible that the override would have passed the Senate and then failed in the House, and it would have put those Democrats in the southern part of the states on the hook for having to make a very controversial vote. But again, you know, I sort of reminds me of all the controversy over former President Barack Obama's present votes in Springfield, which is sort of a way to vote without actually making a decision and sort of keeping your powder dry. And this just seems like it's, like
this
you
is
said,
one
it's,
big presence.
It's like the entire everybody is voting present.
I think it hurts the Democrats, and I think it hurts this movement, because the bill was passed during election season, and there were some skeptics that said this is the Democrats' way of trying to get once again the governor on a social issue about guns to essentially polarize him when it comes to his own primary election and beyond. And, you know, there's a lot of people push back saying it's a cynical look at it. Well, here we are where they have the votes to actually override the veto, and they won't do it. So it almost proves those cynics' point, the point that all that was for show. That was a political tactic during an election, and they don't really care about gun control or gun licensing in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, and let's not forget that this bill also served to sort of make Rauner wear the jacket during the primary with Jeannie Ives,
right,
who very much, you know, favors gun rights and expanded gun rights as opposed to gun control. So it was sort of the Democrats daring Rauner, go ahead, veto this, prove everybody that you're not this sort of middle of the road guy. And he did, and there's no doubt that at least, you know, it didn't hurt him against Jeannie Ives, because it took that away from an issue from her. And now it just sort of seems like it's all gone poof, you know, now that the immediacy
and
of the election is over.
I was going to say, and regardless of where you stand on the issue of gun control or regulation and whether the states should be in, this is a federal issue, the politics of this was not great by either party in how it played out in the state of Illinois. So, moving on, let's talk about the mayor's race, huh? A lot of people getting into the race, and, you know, it's starting to get exciting as the list gets longer.
It's an insanely long list.
It's a very long list. Is this par the course when it comes to a mayoral election that you get all these people and then one by one they kind of drop off? Or is this an inordinate amount of people that are running for office?
Well, it's important to note that nobody has actually started collecting signatures and nobody has actually pulled papers yet.
They're not due until November. We have so much time.
Yeah. So really, you know, as we saw with the assessor's race, which I know AD misses and, you know, longs to return to, that it may seem simple to get, you know, 20,000 signatures from registered voters in Chicago. It may not be, especially for the newcomers like Neil Sales Griffin and Jamal Green.
Jamal Green.
And you know, they're going to have to learn very quickly how to play this game. And I would expect that we would see some of them drop out. On the other hand, you have people like Dorothy Brown and Gary McCarthy who have very serious operations behind them and know how to get those petitions filled out and filed.
The big political news of the week was the announcement Dorothy Brown was going to throw her hat in the ring. She, of course, got a lot of headlines that would be someone who's running for office with a federal investigation around her. But she is a veteran politician and a veteran city politician in the way that she has risen the ranks. I mean, does that mean anything when it comes to running for the top spot in the city of Chicago?
Definitely. I mean, she's been around for 5 terms as clerk, has run unsuccessfully for several offices, but has
including
been...
Including mayor.
Including mayor in 2007?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Against Daly.
Against Daly, right. Right,
2007.
Right.
I was just staring at her old poster. It's hanging up in the City Hall press room, and I was like, that poster is better than the one she has
right
now.
Did it say, if you wear jeans, put a dollar in the jar?
No, but it does have a 5-pointed star instead of a Chicago 6-pointed star, which I thought was interesting.
Oh.
Anyway, she has a good political organization behind her that has faithfully turned out for her in all these clerk elections, but has not in these other ones. She is a known entity, and she had no problem being reelected in 2016 when people knew she was under federal investigation then, too.
And not only that, but she had an opponent who was endorsed by the Cook County Democratic Party, Alderman Michelle Harris, so sort of her 8th ward rival. So I think it would be, I don't think you can count out an elected official in these sort of races. I was interested to see that Alderman Amaya Puar, who of course ran unsuccessfully for governor and will leave the council at the end of his term, said that he had not yet seen sort of somebody that could rally the progressive movement in Chicago around. So I think that there are a lot of people like you sort of counting all of the candidates and then sort of, you know, questioning
who's got the star power.
Who is your constituency? Because all of these constituencies that we generally think of in Chicago politics, which are a lot based on ethnicity and a lot based on what side of town you can get, are being dissolved the more and more candidates get in. We have the Black vote being broken up, kind of we don't know who the progressive vote will be. There's no Latino candidate, which is interesting. There's still so much time, and there's still a couple candidates who we're hearing might get in, might not.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and so we can continue the conversation. AD Quigg, Heather Cherone in studio from the Daily Line, talking all things city, state, and county when it comes to politics. We'll take a quick break and come back. It's a download. Stay with us. AD Quigg, Heather Cherone from the Daily Line in studio tonight. We're talking politics. We're talking mayoral race shaping up. There's a lot of different names getting in. Whether or not they'll stay in is a question. We saw this week, we talked about Dorothy Brown. Neil Sales Griffin, a tech, I don't know what you, a businessman?
Entrepreneur.
African-American who got in front of the crowd for the first time and then halfway through his speech apologized. It was this very strange way to start.
Speech. Yes. It was like 90 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, and that's not a great way to start when you're trying to get your name out there and trying to get everyone's attention. You got everybody's attention, but hard when the microphone and the lights are on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't think of any mayoral candidate who I think has been disqualified by a bad opening speech. There's so much time left, but not
a great
start.
Jamal Green, an activist here in Chicago, well known for organizing police protests in the wake of the Laquan McDonald video. He also, I think, he had a couple run-ins with the police. Wasn't he the kid who was arrested at one of the protests and then he got out?
Chase to Chicago.
Yeah, right. Jamal Green's interesting, but he has spoken out against the Chicago Police Times, through social media posts using derogatory terms for police officers. I don't know how that's going to play out in the sense that
he's also made some comments about gay people and women that have raised a lot of questions. That, you know, he basically said, look, I apologize. I didn't know what I didn't know. And, you know, I'm going to start fresh. But it's difficult when you're 22, I think he is, and then you're already having to apologize for things
yeah.
that you've done.
I'm so glad there wasn't Twitter when I was 22.
Yes. And you cannot walk back too far the things that you've said about police if the thing that you're running on is police reform.
Right.
So he'll have to thread that needle pretty carefully.
And then on the flip side, you have a candidate, the former police superintendent, Gary McCarthy. We've talked a lot about him on the program, but he would be running pro-police. And then you have Lori Lightfoot, who has had a role in, I don't want to say defying the mayor
sure.
in the past.
No, that sounds good. Yeah.
But she has been with the Civilian Accountability Board. Is that what she?
The Police Accountability Task Force she chaired, and she's also been the president of the police board, which decides discipline when police oversight bodies disagree.
And she has been critical of the mayor's office, and a lot of people want to see her get in the race.
Well, I mean, she played not a small role with Attorney General Lisa Madigan enforcing a consent decree, at least negotiations where we are now. And that, I think, will give that, you know, that will certainly be her I'm not Rahm Emanuel bona fides, because, you know, had she not added her voice to Lisa Madigan's efforts, I think we might not be in consent decree negotiations.
Now, I will speak for the layman among us, as the layman here. All those names, and a lot of them have been on the show, and I really do think that they bring something to this race, and they're thoughtful and it's interesting, but they don't bring that star power. They don't bring that person who has held elective office. I mean, I think of maybe Paul Vallis, maybe Dorothy Brown, but someone who you feel has both the star power and the ability to raise money to take on an incumbent, someone with a big name like Rahm Emanuel. Am I wrong in thinking that? The idea that, I mean, is that just old school thinking where I'm like, I need a star to run against a star? Or can someone who really doesn't have that kind of backing surprise us?
Well, that was certainly Rahm Emanuel's argument when he moved back to Chicago in 2011. I mean, his argument was, do you trust just anybody to run this huge, sprawling, crazy, messed up city? I can do it. And I think that there's a level that candidates will eventually have to cross is, are they capable of handling the challenges? I think a lot of people are holding their breath and waiting to see what Congressman-elect Chuy Garcia does. I think he is very much feeling his newfound power as a kingmaker. He brought his slate along with him. And I think who he chooses to back or endorse in the mayoral race will be a big deal.
Yeah.
It will also be a big deal if he does it in concert with the Chicago Teachers Union. Now, the Chicago Teachers Union does not want to see Rahm Emanuel get a third term. They don't want to see Paul Vallis get elected instead of Rahm Emanuel.
And they're not terribly keen on Troy LaRavier either.
Right.
Troy's running as well, and Willie Wilson's running as well.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of, I want to make sure we try to get everybody we can, but there's a lot
What is interesting about this group of candidates is that they all point out a weakness that the mayor has currently. There are police reform candidates, there are school reform candidates, and there are anti-violence candidates, which are like all of his big bugaboos. What he is succeeding on, I think, arguably, is bringing business to downtown. I haven't seen any business or finance candidates who have said, here's how we can fix the city's pension problem, here's how we can continue to have balanced budgets, and here's how we can stop this outflow of people from the city.
I mean, because that's essentially what tripped up Chuy Garcia last time around, because his argument was, well, you know, Rahm's not doing the right thing. And then it was, okay, well, what would you do? And he really never had a complete answer to that, which allowed Emanuel to, you know, sort of tar him with the, oh, he's just going to raise your taxes and it's going to be
Emanuel
a mess.
Did.
And then, you know, of course, and not only that, but, you know, Rahm Emanuel turned around and did exactly that, a historic, massive tax increase, and then hired 1,000 new police officers, which Rahm Emanuel
said he wanted to do.
Which is what Chuy Garcia
it's
wanted to do.
It's interesting. And that'll be interesting to see. I can't wait to continue this conversation and talk. I love this stuff. And it's going to be definitely a race to watch as the municipal election. It's already overshadowing what was going to be the general in November. We still haven't finished. It feels like the governor's race is finished, but there's still...
Well, there was a new poll out today that found Pritzker 18 points over Rahner.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Heather Sharone, AD Quigg, both of the Daily Line. You can find it at dailyline.net. Join us every Wednesday. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Anytime.